Prevent Coalition welcomes you to season 2 of our podcast. We're sharing stories and strategies to help coalitions and organizations reach their full potential. Follow along at preventcoalition.org. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. My name is Christopher Blyle. I'm one of our hosts today. And I'm really excited to introduce you to Logan. She is one of our coordinators and our new co-host of the podcast. Welcome, Logan.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much, Christopher.
Absolutely. Today, Logan and I are going to talk about the role of a student assistance professional, or SAP, if you've heard of that acronym. My goal for this episode is I really want people to kind of understand the complexities of this role, what that role looks like, how they operate, how they engage young people, and most importantly, how coalitions can partner with their SAPs to do prevention work and engage youth. Logan, why don't you introduce yourself a little bit and why we're talking about SAPs when we're interviewing you at the same time?
Yeah, so I was a SAP for about 6 years. I worked at a local middle school. I've actually had my whole entire career has been at ESD 112 in our prevention department. So this has been like my thing for a long time. I'm excited. I've been able to be a truancy specialist, a SAP, and now with Prevent. So there's been a lot of discussion around how do we help SAPs? How do we work with them? How do we partner in a way that's meaningful for coalition coordinators and also for SAPs and schools? What should you know? Like, maybe I can give some tips and tricks on like how to like address them and ask for things in time. I mean, it's a big job. It sort of felt like no matter what, there was never enough hours in the day to get everything done. But it's something I'm passionate about. I loved that job for a really long time and I found a lot of meaning in that work.
Well, now that we've learned a little bit about you, Logan, could you share what is a SAP or a student assistance professional?
Yeah, I think the one thing to know is that no matter what community you're in, it's a little bit different. Working in a middle school is very different than working in a high school. Working in a rural community is different than somewhere more suburban. But the main idea of a SAP is you're doing prevention and intervention around substance use in either a middle school or a high school. You're doing a lot of universal education. So those are things that are like getting out to large groups or almost all of the school. So you're doing things like maybe hanging posters or creating social norms campaigns that everyone's going to see. You're doing education in classrooms. So like, let's say like all of the sixth grade will get education around substance misuse. And then you're also doing kind of more targeted interventions with students who are either at risk for using substances or they themselves have started using, or maybe they have a parent or a family member that is using substances and that's impacting them. So you're kind of doing these like big universal activities to do prevention. You also are working alongside your local coalition. So many student assistance professionals are funded in a way where they're partnered with the coalition that is in their community. So you're also working alongside of them to promote prevention in the community, not just in the school. So I guess there's a piece that's like school-based, and then there's some more work that is community-based.
It's a really good distinction and like kind of a disclaimer of everything we talk about, because some SAPs are funded by the school themselves. So they don't work for an ESD. They are an actual full school employee, and they do whatever their school designs for their curriculum. Whereas many other SAPs are funded through the ESD and a coalition. So that's a really good distinction of what SAPs can look like.
Yeah, I think the great thing is like our school systems are able to fund some of those positions, which is great. And I've seen some movement forward that schools are seeing the need that we need to do this prevention and our kids need more support.
Absolutely. And am I correct that so a student assistance professional is the same thing as a prevention intervention specialist in the past?
Yes. Yeah, you're totally right. So like when I first started, we were called prevention intervention specialist. Or like a PI, which was kind of cool because then you sounded like you're like a spy or something. But they changed the name a few years ago. I think it is more reflective, though, of what I was doing. You're not just doing prevention and intervention. You're also kind of a case manager. You're connecting kids to resources in the community. If they have a mental health need, if they need clothes, if they need to see a doctor, if they need to see a dentist. So you're not just doing that prevention and intervention. So I think student assistance really, really dives into what we're doing. So I liked the name change. It was a little sticky for a little while. I couldn't remember what it was, but I think it truly is fitting to call them student assistance professionals.
I'm really excited to talk about this today because a lot of coalition coordinators have come to me asking, you know, we're going to go through some of their questions, but they talk about things like, I don't know how to partner with my SAP, or maybe I'm a new coordinator and so I don't have the existing relationship, I don't have the history. A lot of coordinators need youth input in their coalition, and that's one of the most effective ways to get youth is by working with your SAP. And so that's kind of our goal today, is to share some of those things. Having said that, why do you think, Logan, SAPs are so important? What benefit does their role bring to the community or the school?
Yeah, I think there's a variety of reasons why I think they're important, but I would say number one, they're kind of bridging the gap between schools, families, and communities. So it's a very unique role. Like for most people, you're the only person in your school with that job. I think that it's important to know that there is a need for them because they are bridging all of those gaps. In my time, I had a number of staff, teachers, principals, counselors. They're all working very hard. They have a lot on their plates. And then when you have someone like a SAP in your school, you know that they can not only provide education around substance misuse, but also they are there to support kids, you know, in their emotional needs, even in their physical needs too, like being able to connect them to resources that they might need. With younger youth, like being in a middle school, I think we all know that if we can go more upstream in prevention, we're going to be more successful. It's challenging if you're working in a high school because kids are already, like, they already have these habits. They already have these patterns. If we can get to them younger, like in a middle school setting, I think we all school staff, all community members, we know that if we can talk to them when they're young about how to protect themselves and their bodies, their brains, and do that education around substance misuse then, that we're going to see the most benefit later in life. So I think having a person who specializes in that, has the training, has, you know, ongoing education around substance misuse, because it's always changing. We're always learning new things. So to have a person in your building who has all of that knowledge, it's super helpful. There's a lot of needs in schools, especially, I mean, always, but definitely after COVID, there's so much need for mental health support. Mm-hmm. And SAPs are not mental health professionals, but they can help bridge those gaps. And if you're on a wait list to get services by a mental health professional, there are some things that SAPs can help with. They can get you connected to other groups that might be beneficial. I know that in my time, I was able to run groups to help kids build skills around stress management, even some anger management. So you're kind of also like helping to fill those gaps that our community needs to be filled.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Okay. And you mentioned a few of the things that you educate young people on in this role. Could you share what other topics do you teach as a SAP?
Yeah, so in the beginning of the year, most SAPs are going to start their year off doing education in a classroom. I think a lot of times people think we're going in and like doing these like drug prevention, almost dare-ish type style education, but that's not it at all. When they would go into the classroom, it's probably going to be more focused on what does it mean to become a teenager? What kind of changes are happening? I think we all know that like when things are changing and we feel like, is this right? Is this normal? It can create even more anxiety in an already like stressful time in your life. So I think it's important that we cover topics like, what are those changes? We're not talking like human growth and development sort of stuff, but more like, how are your relationships changing with your family, with your friends? It can be scary for kids to not know that, you know what, like, hey, as I'm becoming a teenager, my relationship with my parents might be different. I'm leaning more to talking to my friends now versus talking to my parents. And to know that, of course, you should engage your parents in what's going on with your life, but also it's normal to like feel these changes. So that's part of what we cover. We also talk more about how to have healthy relationships. I think starting that conversation in middle school is so important. You know, what are some boundaries? How do you set boundaries? How do you communicate effectively with others? It's a little bit of guidance around technology and like how to be safe and appropriate on social media and things like that. And then we do dive into like the beginning conversations of like, how do substances impact our brain and body? I think that most SAPs really focus on like what is actually like physiologically happening to your brain and what those changes are, because kids really see the value in understanding the science behind why does it matter? What is really happening? Is it really true that I shouldn't be doing it? Is it really that bad? So I think spending time understanding that piece of it in a classroom setting is really, really helpful for kids.
I can see why the SAP is such a big role. Just hearing what all the different things you cover, it's like that's like a full coalition action plan with multiple people.
Right.
But it's all in one. And I think one of the unique things about this job is, like you said, you're often the only person in the whole school doing this. So no one knows what you're doing. Am I correct in saying you might seem like an outsider, like you're not a school staff?
For sure. I think especially those who are funded with a coalition and you're not a school employee or district employee, you definitely in the beginning have to nurture those connections with admin and staff in a building, because you are an outsider and part of your job is to really integrate yourself into that community. And there's some things that people don't realize. That means you're going to basketball games, you're going to band concerts, you're serving ice cream during the eighth grade honor roll celebration. Those are all things that take time, and you have to be able to fit that also in with a long list of other things that you're doing. But yeah, you're totally right in saying that it can sometimes feel like you're a little bit of an outsider. I was lucky enough to be an ESD SAP, and I was able to have like a bunch of other people in my same position that I was meeting with, you know, at least once or twice a month. And that gave me a little bit more of a sense of community, but you're totally right.
It's unique too, because you report directly to the principal. Is that correct?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's kind of the politics or ideas of how a SAP should function can vary depending on the principal.
Completely.
And so your role could look very different depending on what they allow you to do or how much they support you. I think that's something that I've heard can really impact how coalitions and SAPs can partner, is just what their principal allows.
100%. I think who your principal is and like their values definitely shape your what you're doing in a school as a SAP. I think that you're right in saying that SAPs, your job is really, really directed by what your principal wants. And I think I had a great supervisor who told me, like, we're doing customer service. Like, we're providing a service into a school. So it's like we're balancing constantly following fidelity of our program, but you're also, you want your principal to be happy and you want to support their values and what they see as a benefit for their school. So it is like always this like juggling act of like getting what you need to get done, but also making sure that, you know, that you are working with the principal and using that knowledge from them to guide your work.
Logan, could you share with us a little bit about how coalitions can support the student assistance professional role? Because a lot of our audience is either nonprofits who are doing prevention work, or they're like a coalition coordinator specifically running this type of program. So how do you think they can help you, or you can partner?
Yeah, I think the best way to start out like a relationship with a SAP is understanding that they have a lot going on. So any kind of ask you might have is like, make it as like easy as possible for the SAP to be able to engage in that. I'll give an example. Right now I'm working on a project. I'm trying to get kids to fill out a survey so that we can capture some different ideas that we haven't had in the past in a program. So to make it really, really easy for the SAP, because I know it's a huge ask. It's a big ask to get kids to come out of class and do a survey and like, how do you fit that in with the groups you're already running? So I am going out to the school, doing a presentation with their group. They don't have to do anything other than get the kids there. And I'm delivering all of the content for them. I literally only need like the kids in a space to do it. So I think, first of all, if you're gonna work with a SAP, make it really, really easy and actually helpful. You can also try to like frame what you're doing in a way that can align with their goals of their program. Like, let's say align what you want to be education around protective and risk factors. Mm-hmm. If you can do something that's providing education around substance misuse, if you can align your goals with their goals so that you're both getting a benefit out of it, I think that's the best way to do it. It's hard to get kids out of school. So if you can go to the school with a SAP and do things there and build that relationship where it's not a huge ask, really working on that relationship is important. Also, bringing food, which I know is a challenge. I know the budgets are crazy and we can't always do that. But if you can bring food, that's an easy way to get kids places and SAPs. That was a strategy I used. I would bring my own candy and like give it out to kids because that gets them to do things.
Do you remember in West Van for Youth when we did the pizza party for the SAPs at Discovery Middle School, and then they did like a poster making contest while they were eating pizza for Red Ribbon Week? I feel like that was a really good example of like, it gave the SAP a little bit of a break because we were running everything. We brought in food, so there was tons of youth there. The room was like packed. But then the coalition benefited because we got the marketing stuff for Red Ribbon Week directly from the young people. And I like these other examples you're sharing of like, I'll come in and deliver this project for you. I just need the space and the youth.
Yeah. I loved that. That was a really fun day with our prevention club. I think it is a perfect example of like, of really like making it easy for the SAP, but also like, yeah, we were able to, the kids created the posters and then we used those posters and I think, did we hang them I think it was a cafe nearby. We like hung them there. We also had coalition members like voting on like their, it was a contest. So voting on like, there was a whole like rubric on how to judge them. But so it also, you know, engaged the coalition members and judging. And like, it was just really nice to see. I think that is a really good example of like, I don't know, that's like the model, right? Like getting coalitions really engaged with SAPs and schools and youth. It was a great time. It was really, really fun.
It reminds me too of like working with your student assistance professional is a great way to hit that protective factor of having two positive adult role models that are non-parents or guardians in the young person's life. Having two or more adult role models, the SAP is one. And then if you can connect a coalition member who loves working with youth, it doesn't even have to be the coordinator. As long as it's someone who's, you know, trained to be around young people or competent to do that. It's a really great way to like introduce the young people to another role model and a supportive person who cares and who's understanding, as long as it's in a way that's really, you know, mindful of the SAPS program and how they run their work.
I think that's a great point. I think when you were saying that, I was thinking also, you know, there's kids in our schools who they don't fit into a club at school, or they're not into sports, or they're not exactly fitting in. And I think having the coalition come in and do, you know, work with like a prevention club, I mean, I think it's a place and a space where all kids fit into that. All of us, like all kids want to be healthy and like to learn and like want the ability to volunteer and like help in their community. So I think when you're talking about protective factors, I think that's another one. It's giving coalitions coming in it's giving the opportunity and space for our youth to engage in an activity that might help them feel more connected to their school, which we know is a protective factor. So
absolutely.
It's beautiful.
One of the things I've been asked from one of our staff is a coordinator has come to me saying, my SAP has a really specific and clear job, and I have a really specific and clear action plan. And in this case, they don't align. They're using different curriculum that's from HCA, and I'm trying to do this other program. How do we collaborate? How would you respond to that?
Yeah, I think I think that's a tough one. And I have felt that before when I was a SAP. I think, and I know that we're not always in the space to be able to do this, but if you can have the SAP be part of your steering committee or part of your planning committee when you're developing an action plan so that you can find those opportunities where what you're working on is aligning, I think that is probably the easiest way to do it, really engaging them. I was part of our steering committee, and it was really helpful because I could be really transparent and open about, like, this is what I need to achieve. And then our coalition coordinator was able to be like, you know what? I think we can make it work this way, and this aligns with our goals. So I think if you can get your SAP involved in that planning process, awesome. I also think that we have to be like a little flexible, I think, on both ends. Like, the great thing about being a SAP is there is flexibility in what you're doing. Like, there are these main fidelity checkpoints you have to make, but like, in general, you can really shift your work however you want to, as long as it's obviously aligning with what the principal wants. But I think that's the nice thing, is also coalition coordinators being really clear about what they can and can't do. That was really helpful for me. So then it's like, I have a clear understanding of what they need and what they can provide, because sometimes as a SAP, it's not super clear. We don't have like funding that we're actually dealing with. So I think when you're a coordinator, just doing like a quick coalition funding 101, like, what does the action plan look like? What things can you spend money on? What can you not spend money on? Is really helpful. And I think if you can just find a way to easily, quickly give them that like 101 lesson, that's going to be really helpful.
So our next question, Logan, is what are some of the challenges that a student assistance professional may face during their average day-to-day, or what kind of barriers might they run into as they're doing this prevention work?
I would say number one, there's a lot happening in that role. So you're doing education in a classroom. You're running groups for students who have someone in their family that's impacted by substance misuse. You're working with kids who themselves are using substances and want support. That sometimes means you're coordinating getting an assessment done for a student. You're helping get them placed in a treatment facility. You're also working with their parent. You're also working with the family resource coordinator to get them housing. And you're also working with like their teachers. Like, you have teachers coming and asking you for things and needing support. And you're also working with your coalition. So I think the challenging part is that you're needed in so many ways. I think anyone who's doing that work, like, you want to do as much as you can to help the community. So it's kind of this feeling of always being needed in a lot of different places. So learning how to, first of all, take care of yourself. I think that's number one. I think that anyone who's been a SAP or has done similar work knows that it's easy to burn out, and taking care of yourself is like the most important thing. So, and I mean, that's simple things like, I allotted myself a 30-minute lunch where like I didn't allow students to be in my room, and try to get outside, go on a walk, make sure you're taking care of yourself, because it's easy when you feel so busy and pulled in so many directions to not take care of yourself. So yeah, I think making sure you're not burning out is, that can be challenging. I think for sure just feeling pulled in a million different directions. And this is a little sensitive, so I'm just gonna like give a little trigger warning that I'm gonna talk a little bit about some of the things you might hear and experience as a SAP. So if this is something sensitive to you, you might want to skip ahead. But I think emotionally it can be really challenging. You're hearing a lot of stuff. And it's hard because like we can only do what we can do in the school. And then you're sending these kids home to maybe unsafe spaces. You know, you follow protocols around CPS. And that in itself is very challenging and draining mentally and emotionally. So I think going back to taking care of yourself is super important. That all being said, like, there's definitely challenges, but there's so many like bright points mm-hmm. in that role, and there's so many opportunities to make a difference. And that was one of my favorite parts was, you know, yes, mm-hmm. it's challenging, but you are able to see that you're making a difference in kids' lives.
Mm-hmm. Which is huge. I can see you're like, oh my gosh, thank gosh, I'm not a SAP anymore. Maybe we shouldn't have triggered you with the barriers. Yeah, that's a really big role, though. I think it's helpful for me to hear those, because when I hear you talking about it and hearing all these things that they need to be an expert at and all these people depending on them, I really think coordinators need to be mindful of that before they approach you or a SAP and say, you know, how is this going to fit for them? And I want to make sure I'm not adding too much work on their plate, knowing what they're already experiencing. I want to pivot a little because you talked about the bright spots, and I think that would be a great place to end this interview, is on a happy note. Could you share with us what was some of your favorite parts of this role when you were working there?
I would say like some of the best things that I did was just like when you're in a group and you have like a bunch of eighth grade girls like coming in and like they're gossiping and they're having fun and they're friends and like they're engaging you in those conversations and like you really see that like they trust you and they're connected to you. Like it feels really good and it feels like they do have that person in the school that they can trust and they can connect with and talk with. There was like a handful of times in my time as a SAP where kids like actually said to me, like, you're the only person I can talk to or I can trust you. And like, I came to school today because I wanted to come to group. Mm-hmm. And like those things like would just light up my whole day. And I think also being able to be part of a school community was really cool. It was nice to be able to go to those like events and like wrestling matches or the track meet and being able to feel like you're there to help, you're there to connect, you're there to really be part of a community. It was really, really nice. I also loved our time working with our coalition. It was really fun to see the students be able to feel really good about themselves because they were doing something positive for their community. Like, I know our coalition came out and helped for Red Ribbon Week. We tied ribbons all around the outside of the school. We planted tulips and the coordinator was there. Like, she was in the dirt planting with us. And
in the rain.
Yes. And then, you know, like when the tulips bloomed, she would like send me pictures and then I'd get to share those at group. And the kids just had this sense of pride and a sense that they belonged in their community. They were doing something important. That was one of the best things about being able to be a SAP, work with a coalition. I could go on and on, really. There were so many amazing things that I got to experience as a SAP.
I love hearing about this. I think I can just see your energy when you're talking about the good stuff. It's a really meaningful role, and it's such a crucial role too, that like it's fulfilling for the person, but it's also really fulfilling for the community and the school. And I want to thank you just for going over these insights from an inside source. And I know you're not a student assistance professional anymore. We stole you. We're so lucky to have you. You're like the most magical person ever. And just, you know, thank you so much for being here on the podcast today to help other coalitions collaborate more effectively with their student assistance professionals.
I'm super glad I got to come be on the podcast. I am very passionate about SAPs and their work. And if I can make it easier or more understandable what they're doing and how coalitions can engage with their SAPs, that makes me happy. That's bringing some light to my day today. I hope it's helpful. If you have more questions, I'm sure you can connect with us through our website, vermontcoalition.org.
Absolutely. Thank you, Logan, for sharing. Any last words before we end this episode?
No, I'm just grateful to be here, and I'm so excited to be part of the Prevent team.
Excellent. We're so excited to have you. I'm very lucky. Thank you so much, Logan, and we'll see you all next time. Thank you for supporting the Prevent Coalition podcast. You can listen to all of our episodes on podbean.com, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and more. You can access resources, toolkits, and more on our website, preventcoalition.org. And we look forward to seeing you next time.